My name is Jim O'Shea. I was born in Fyries, but I now live in Listry. I have been living here since 1969 and likely to stay here now at this stage of my life. Went to school in Fyries, in Longfield School, still there, and it's now a very nice private residence. Not so nice in my day, I suppose. It was a big, grey, two-roomed, forbidding-looking building. No bit of brightness about it. School days in the late 40s and early 50s were rather tough in Ireland. We had two teachers. I don't know how many pupils. We had a very poor quality playground. No running water. Dry toilets down the back, no electricity, and it was the same routine every day. There was no bit of brightness. When you go into a school nowadays, the first thing that strikes you is the light, the colour, the kiddies' paintings on the wall, so much colour, and the other thing, I suppose, is the friendliness of the teachers. They have better training now and they have better methods now, and education is, shall we say, a lighter subject than it was in my day.
Jim, when you do go into another school now, for example, if you're collecting your grandchildren or anything like that, and you see all those happy colours and, you know, pictures on the wall, what does that make you feel?
I feel that I was brought up, and I'd say I'm not alone in this view. We were brought up in a very dark, morbid age. You have to understand, I went to school in the late 40s. It was immediately after the Second World War. Things were tough. There was poverty. Farmers worked the land, grew their own crops and vegetables, and that fed the households. There was very poor prices for farm produce. For example, calves, you could nearly give them away. They had their own supply of milk, of course, and the only income they had, the majority of them, were sending milk to the local creamery.
Okay. And you obviously grew up in Fyries, and did you have a lot of siblings?
I had one brother, John, who is still in the old home, John O'Shea, living in Battlefield. Okay. If I could just go back to the school again. It was much the same routine every day. One of the things we done was history. And I could never, for the life of me, understand why in the Ireland of the 1950s we were never told one solitary word about World War I, World War II, the War of Independence, or the Civil War. We were told about things like Brian Boroughan, Fenwick Hall, and Father Murphy from Old Kilcormick, a lot of it folklore. I don't know, was it too close to the various wars that it was sort of not the done thing to talk about? The same happened in geography in the school. We done a little geography. It would be done maybe once a week for an hour. And we had three maps in the room. We had a map of Ireland, which was bilingual, English and Irish place names. We had a map of the United States, and we had a map of Europe. And again, I often wondered why we didn't have a map of Great Britain. Because at that time, oodles of our people were going, they were going in droves to England. There was no jobs here, unemployment was rife, and people went in their hundreds from places like Carrick, Sabine and Kilgavin and all of North Kerry. I'm old enough to remember the old railway line that ran between Carrick, Sabine and Farnforth, and the various stations along the way. You had visions of people with suitcases heading out for Holyhead a fish cart.
And that reminds me of the statue in Killorglin of that woman with her suitcases by the old railway station as well.
Correct. Hundreds went. In fact, I thought it very sad if I jump ahead a few years. Some years ago, I was in a out of London, on the outskirts of London, a railway station, and there was a man there. He was doing a little bit of sweepy up with a brush and a dustpan, and I got talking to him. I was waiting for the train, and I found out that he had left Carsaby in 39 years. And I said, when you go back, do you find a big change there? And his answer was, it has always stuck with me. I haven't gone back, he said. I have no intention of going back, he said, because the Ireland of my time wasn't very kind to me, and I don't want to see it again. So that's kind of a picture of the 1940s and 50s. There was no employment, no jobs, and, you know, for young boys, you might get a job maybe as an apprentice to a carpenter, or you might get a job on the building site, but you had no opportunities as you have today.
And you got opportunities down the line. So where was your career?
Well, I went to my secondary education was at the Killarney Technical School. Long gone, it was built where the present day Ulster Bank premises is in New Street. And I must say, it was a different era. It was a progression, and we had one beautiful teacher by the name of Joe Tracy. He taught us maths and metalwork, but he taught us more than that because he often spent a session that we should be doing maths, and he talked to us about life. And he taught us an awful lot about life and living and what we should look forward to and do with our time.
And what did you think of that when you used to be in those classes?
Well, when working, I often thought back to Joe Tracy. God be good to him, he died a few years ago, but he was a man ahead of his time. He gave us a sort of a modern outlook and things to look out for. And when I went to Lieber in 1959 as an apprentice, I often thought about the training he gave us, about paying attention to the small little things and to do them right. And he said, if you do the small things right, the bigger things will fall into line.
And that's the lesson to go by in
it
life.
It is indeed, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I started in Lieber in 1959, and when I done my apprenticeship, which was 4 years, I got employment in the machine shop, and I worked on lathes and milling machines, and wonderful place to work. If I had my time over again, I'd have no hesitation in going back in there. The Germans were wonderful to work with. They treated everybody well, and it was great employment. And of course, at that time in Killarney, no jobs except some seasonal holiday work in the hotels. The holiday season in Killarney at that time was about 10 weeks. It ran from about mid-June until the end of August. Half of June, July and August. The rest of the year you could practically lie down in the middle of the street. Nobody would disturb you. There was no other employment except seasonal employment in the hotels.
Completely different now.
Completely different now, yeah. If you wanted a job now in the Killarney area, there would be no excuse for you not to find a job.
And what do you think that, you know, you've seen it through its eras and how it's built up over the years. Like, what does it make you think now when you go through the town, you're stuck in traffic, to think many years ago when you were here, it wasn't like this?
No, and I think a lot of the people that immigrated to Britain mainly, and some to America in the 1950s, they wouldn't mind at all being stuck in traffic if they had a job. Mm. It is completely different now. The town has changed completely. There are more hotels. At that time there was only a few hotels, mainly in town. There was none of the outlying hotels there. And there's practically full employment in Killarney now.
Mm-hmm. And it's fantastic. And Jim, a lot of people would know your name with sporting associations, so tell us where it all starts.
Where did it all start? I suppose as a young fella growing up in Fire Is, first of all, we had no transport, and we went to the local sports in Fire Is and Ballyhair. I was fairly lightly built, so I felt football was out for me. I got thrown around too much and too many injuries. So I ran in a few juvenile races, 100 yards. It was yards at that time because we hadn't reached the metric system. And I used to win the odd medal, and I was hooked on athletics. And then in 1960, which is 62 odd years ago, I joined the athletic club in Farm Four.
Mm-hmm. It's a big thing in Farm Four, do you mind me saying?
Well,
athletics is a very big thing in Farm Four.
Well, we were lucky in that Farm Four is a rural area, very rural at that time, and it was one of the places which had a history of athletics. And that was mainly down to one individual, a man by the name of John Crowley. John was a local man. He ran, he was a shopkeeper, and he ran, done a taxi service. But he had a wonderful love of athletics. Athletics and cycling sought to win hand in hand at that time in the old Athletic Association. And in good times and bad times, he promoted athletics. And it was mainly cross-country at that time. There was a gang of us in the early 60s. We'd meet a few evenings a week in a premises in Farnham 4. There was no great specialised training. We would tug out, do a few miles in the road, tug back in again. And the only equipment we had at the time was an old set of football jerseys, which were hand-me-downs from a parish league that was held in the parish years before that. So there was no fancy Adidas or Nike or Puma or any of this equipment at that time.
You were just happy to have the shirts on your back.
The shirts on our back, yeah. And there were a great gang of people. And I made friends at that time. And four of us are still very much actively involved in the club. There was Ger Crowley, who was the son of the aforementioned John. There was Joe Clifford from Faha, now living in Tralee. And Michael O'Connor, who came from Lawless Cross, now living in Killarney, and myself. And we have stayed together through good times and bad times, and we still go to various athletic events together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you're still winning medals.
Well, in my senior career, I suppose, I was never very hot, but I had a great interest in it. And then I drifted into, when I was 40 years of age, I drifted into what's known as Masters Athletics. For those that don't know what Masters Athletics is, it is for men and women from the age of 35, and you compete in 5-year age groups. For example, if you're 41, you compete 40 to 45, or 45 to 50, or 50 to 55. So I started in about 1983. I was just over the 40. And I won a bronze medal in Tullamore at the National Championships. And they kind of hooked me. And I've competed all the way up to now. And I have competed in the various age groups. And then a few years ago, some years back, maybe 15, 18 years ago, I got a bit adventurous and I went to England to the British Masters Championships. Irish people are welcome to compete in the British Championships. And the first year I went, I was unsuccessful. It was all new to me. Then I won a bronze medal the following year. And I have won a share of gold medals in the high jump and long jump.
Mm-hmm. And that year you didn't win the medal and you went over. How did you feel?
Well, it was a learning experience, I suppose. They do things that little bit different. They're more organised and they they run their events very well and disciplined. And I suppose for the first year or two I was a little bit raw, but I learned, and I am well able to hold my own with him now. And over the years I have won a good few medals in high jump, long jump and the odd 100 metres. And then some years ago I went to Madrid. A couple of the lads in the club were going to Madrid and they said, "Jim, you should come along." And I gave it a try, and I was lucky enough to win the European Masters.
Wow.
High jump over 75. And I just missed out in a medal the following day in the high jump. I won the long jump. I was unplaced in the high jump. And then a few years after that, one of the guys was going to Poland, to a lovely town called Turon. It's in the center of Poland. And I went out there, and even though I jumped further in the long jump than I had at the European Championships, I finished fourth. I just missed out on a medal. But the following day, I came out and I got a bronze medal in the world over 75 high jump.
That's incredible.
So now that I'm over 80, I hope, God willing, that I'll go to the British Championships. They're on the 1st and 2nd of September of this year. And if I score there, I may well wind down my career with a visit to Poland again in March of next year. The European Masters Championships are being held in Poland. So I would like to give it one last go. After that, I will sit by the fire reading Ireland's Own and listening to Kerry Radio.
And tell me this, Jim, that sounds like a beautiful plan, but how do you prepare? Like, what do you need to eat? How much do you need to walk? And where are you jumping at home that you're able to do all these jumps?
Well, I train regularly, and that has helped me, no doubt. A lot of people in my age group, when they come to, or even before my age group, when they come to 60 or 65, they kind of pull down the shutters and they say, sure, I couldn't do that, or I couldn't do this. And people should push themselves a little bit to keep up their level of fitness. A bit of walking, they don't have to run a marathon. A bit of walking, a little bit of cycling, whatever they fancy. But it is good to get yourself out off the chair, get out, meet people, have a conversation, and it will keep you primed. Weekly training. One day a week I go to the Rioch Athletic Track in Castle Island. I go with a comrade of mine. We have been going with the last 7 or 8 years, and she's Annette O'Brien. She's German born and she's living in Fireys, and she competes with the Guinea Willa Athletic Club. And we're very lucky because we do the same events. She competes in her age group. She would kill me if I said what age group she was in. But she competes in the high jump, long jump and sprint. And we help one another. We go and we wonder why we didn't get over the bar. Should we put our mark back or forward or what have you. And we help one another. The other man I can thank in recent years, the last 10 or 12 years, is a man out in Killoughlin by the name of Jerry Horgan. Jerry runs his own gym out there. He caters for people from all sports, footballers, basketballers, cyclists, athletes, and he does one or two evenings a week out there in his gym. He has a wonderful knowledge of physical fitness, and he knows exactly the program that will suit you. Then at home, here in my own shed, I have a little bit of equipment. I have a gym ball, and I have a kettlebell, and I have a couple of little bits of weights, and that's enough at my age to keep me occupied.
Your grandchildren must be so proud of you.
Grandchildren, I have one grandchild at the moment, JJ, who has joined the club in Ferran 4 and attends the. He's only seven, and he's. So I hope he'll stick at it. I do say a lot of things. I see a lot of things about youngsters in sport. It is lovely for children to be involved in sport, and I would encourage any child to get involved in sport. Like I said about the older people, it doesn't matter what, whether you're playing badminton, tennis, running, football, it provided you do it in moderation. But there is a trend at this present time for clubs to push things a little bit too hard. There is strict training a few times a week, and the unfortunate thing is that half of our kids aren't doing anything at all in the line of physical education. Those that are pulled and dragged between basketball tonight, and mommy has to drive Katie, and mommy will have to drive Katie on Thursday night to football, and mommy will have to drive Katie to soccer training on Saturday, or Johnny, as the case may be. So there is a demand on parents, and of course, both parents, a lot of them, both are working nowadays, and they need that little bit of a break in evening time, but one or both of them will have to sit into the car and drive the kid. So sport has got demanding. I'm not sure either if the present intensity of training is good for young kids. They are forming, their bones are growing, and really and truly doing an excess of physical education is not good. Having said that, I love to see young people involved in sport, because if you're involved in sport, you won't appear in the national headlines for other things. And if you can get young people over the hump of late teens, 17, 18, 19, there's a good chance that they'll stick with the sport and have quite a good career.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Jim, what bit of advice would you give to anyone that would love to take up something new?
Advice to anyone that wants to take up something new. By all means, whatever it is, find out about it, get a little bit of knowledge on it, find out someone that has tried it, and put your toe in the water and experiment. If you don't like it, no harm done. There are umpteen other things you can try in life, but it is good for people to get away from the mobile phone and the TikTok and the WhatsApp for a while, and do a little bit of mixing with kids. That's the other thing I notice about sport with young people, is that whatever their ability, I often saw a young, a sort of shy child with the head down, looking out under the eyebrows, what am I getting into? And after a few weeks, they mix with their friends and they have friends for life. So sport is good in more ways than competition. It is good for building your character and making friends. And I think that's what life is about. It's one of the things in this country we have lost a little bit of. We have lost our little bit of friendliness towards one another and being nice to one another and doing things for one another. It doesn't take anything to be nice to people.
Well, Jim, it was so lovely to talk to you, and I can't wait for your retirement plan. It sounds fantastic.
Thank you.
Well, I hope to retire from athletics. My wife is not here at the moment. It will come to a shock that I am continuing for another 6 or 8 months. After that, I'm going, as I said, I'd sit by the fire with Ireland's own and listen to Kerry Radio.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you indeed. Thank you.